Colonial Pipeline pays a $5 million ransom to restore operations. A Wi-Fi vulnerability that impacts devices from as far back as 1997, and more on this week's episode of Bear Security. Welcome to Bear Security, a weekly quick take on topics affecting our businesses, clients, careers, and communities in cybersecurity. I'm Chris Ply, and here are the stories for the week of May 15th, 2021. It's official. President Joe Biden signed an executive order on Wednesday aimed at charting a new course to improve the nation's cybersecurity and protect federal government networks. The order aims to remove barriers to threat information sharing between the government and private sector, such as requiring IT service providers to share certain breach information should it potentially impact government networks. Additionally, the order seeks to modernize and implement stronger cybersecurity standards in the federal government by moving toward cloud services, a zero-trust architecture, requiring MFA, and mandatory encryption. It also seeks to establish baseline security standards for the development of software that is sold to the federal government and improve the visibility of issues as they are found. The order also establishes the Cybersecurity Safety Review Board, which is going to be modeled after the National Transportation Safety Board, to be co-chaired by government and private sector leads, which will convene after a significant cyber incident to understand what happened and make recommendations on improvements. Lastly, it requires the federal government to create a standardized playbook and set of definitions for incident response to help reduce complexities and establish a baseline of response. This would be further bolstered through improved investigative and remediation capabilities by requiring government-wide endpoint detection and response, along with robust intergovernmental information sharing. You can read the full details regarding this over at whitehouse.gov, or you can find the links in the description. If you thought Dell's 12-year-long vulnerability was bad from last week, how about a flaw as old as the original Wi-Fi standard itself from 1997? Wired is reporting that a set of vulnerabilities were discovered this week by New York University Abu Dhabi researcher Matthew Van Hove, that an attacker within Wi-Fi range of a target could potentially exfiltrate data from a victim and compromise their devices. The findings were collectively called FRAG attack, short for fragmentation and aggregation attack, due to how the flaws relate to how data is processed within Wi-Fi. Though, do not go unplugging devices just yet. Van Hove says that while the flaws are widespread, they are currently difficult to exploit, but definitely stay on the lookout for patches for your devices, especially those that for routers and wireless access points. You can find links to the Wired story and the researcher's site in the description. The Register is reporting that Colonial Pipeline's operators reportedly paid $5 million to regain control of their digital systems to restore gas and oil deliveries across the eastern seaboard of the United States following last week's ransomware infection from the group DarkSide. Meanwhile, due to how slow the decryptor was, Colonial ended up still recovering from backups, as well in attempt to speed up the restoration. The pipeline service resumed Thursday, and they expect it to take up to 2 weeks to get back up to full operation. Meanwhile, DarkSide had also received $4.4 million ransom from chemical distributor Brentag that they also hit around the same time. Though here's where the story gets a little bit more interesting. DarkSide and other ransomware groups, after realizing that someone effectively hit a hornet's nest, decided to set some rules around their ransomware as a service, and some hacking forums are now prohibiting their marketing of Locker-type malware and services. However, on Friday, Bleeping Computer reported that a threat actor known as UNKN, who is considered the public-facing representative of rival Reval ransomware gang, shared that allegedly DarkSide lost access to their public data leak site, payment servers, and CDN servers due to law enforcement action. Though no law enforcement agency has made mention of action so far, it's led to speculations that this may be an exit scam. Expect more updates on this story. And of course, links to both stories on this topic are in the description. Talos published a blog this week covering their insight over the recent patches published on Tuesday by Microsoft. The most significant vulnerability in this month's Patch Tuesday is a remote code execution vulnerability in the HTTP protocol stack. This vulnerability would allow an unauthenticated attacker to send a specially crafted packet to a target server that, if successful, gives an attacker the ability to execute remote code on the target host. Microsoft believes this vulnerability would be wormable, and with a CVSS score of 9.8 out of 10, this is one you're really going to want to patch quickly. If you aren't hosting HTTP websites, then you may want to be concerned about another RCE, this time in Internet Explorer 11. This RCE can be exploited by getting a vulnerable user to visit a specially crafted website or open an embedded Microsoft Office document. The last significant critical vulnerability as part of this patch Tuesday has to do with the OLE automation protocol, which is an inter-process communication mechanism relied on by a number of programming languages within the Windows OS. This vulnerability could allow an attacker to execute remote code on a targeted machine without any interaction. You can read the full write-up over on Talos's blog or check out the Microsoft Security Update Guide in the links in the description. Leaping Computer is reporting that Cisco has fixed a 6-month-old zero-day vulnerability that was found in the Cisco AnyConnect Secure Mobility Client VPN software with publicly available proof-of-concept exploit code. The zero-day was disclosed back in November 2020, with Cisco only offering mitigation measures to decrease the attack surface at the time. The Cisco Product Security Incident Response Team has said despite proof-of-exploit code being made available, they don't currently see evidence of attacks exploiting it in the wild. In addition to resolving the zero-day, the new versions also introduce new settings that are strongly recommended for increased protection that administrators should check out. The vulnerability and improvements are now addressed in the Cisco AnyConnect Secure Mobility Client releases 4.10.000093 and later. Links for more details are in the description. ThreatPost is reporting that Apple's Find My Device function that helps users track their iOS and macOS devices can be exploited to transfer data to and from random passing devices without using the internet. Security researcher Fabian Bromlin with Positive Security developed a proof of concept for the attack, which uses a microcontroller and a custom macOS app that can broadcast data from one device to another using Bluetooth Low Energy. Then, once the device, receiving device that is, connects to the internet, it will then forward data to an attacker-controlled Apple iCloud server. The researcher dubbed the method SendMime and detailed several use cases for the method in their research. Bromlin mentioned that the misuse of FindMy in this way may be nearly impossible for Apple to prevent, given the capability is inherent to the privacy and security-focused design of the FindMy offline finding system. Links to the full research or the story from ThreatPost are in the description. Cyber News researchers have found that more than 29,000 databases worldwide are unprotected and publicly accessible, leaving nearly 19 petabytes of data exposed to the public. While they don't mention the data they discovered, Hadoop databases have the largest amount of data exposed, and the countries with the most unprotected databases online are topped by China, followed by the United States. You can see the full research over on cybernews.com, and it's also linked in the description. In an update from last week's story, the Hacker News is reporting that Rapid7 revealed on Thursday that they have been affected by the CodeCove breach. Rapid7 joins HashiCorp, Confluent, and Twilio as companies continue to assess the potential that they were breached. Rapid7 says on their website that the use of CodeCove's Bash uploader script was limited to a single CI server used to test and build some internal tooling for their managed detection and response service. They were not using CodeCove on any CI server used for product and production code. In addition, they have not found evidence of any other system being accessed, and they've already reached out to any customers whose dataset may have been used as part of the CI system. The federal government, as you can imagine, is engaged in investigating the CodeCove breach, and we expect it will be months before we know the full extent of all customers that have been impacted, so we'll keep you updated as we learn more. Of course, you can read the full story over on the Hacker News by following the links in the description. One last thing, I've got a correction to make. Last week, I referred to NIST as the National Institute of Science and Technology. It's actually the National Institute of Standards and Technology. I don't know exactly where my brain was when I wrote the script, but My apologies on that. And that is all for this week's episode of Bear Security. Thanks for tuning in, as always. Links for everything mentioned can be found in the description. Come back every Saturday or visit our website, syntaxbearer.io, for other formats that are available, posts that we make throughout the week. Be sure to like and subscribe. And if you have any comments or would like to see us cover something, be sure to let us know. This is Chris Klein signing off. Stay safe out there, friends.